Now, this is Remembrance Sunday. And of course, our brother preached this morning on the believer's battle dress, the Christian soldier's armor, because we're in the army of the Lord. But if you look at James chapter 4 and the verse 1, and I just want to base my remarks tonight upon this text. Now, James, of course, he's addressing the Christians, but he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And just those words in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And that, of course, is a question. There's a question mark. And so, and of course, as I said, he's addressing the Lord's people, but I want to look at it in a more general fashion tonight. Why do we have wars? Why is it that we had cause this morning to remember the fallen in the First World War, the Second World War, and sadly many other wars even since that? Why is it that men and women go to war? Why is it that wars break out in various parts of the world? Well, the answer is found in this text. Very basic, simple, plain. And yet, you know, it says everything that we need to know. If somebody was to ask me, and I think I was asked this, but I was trying to remember this afternoon where it was and when it was and who it was, and I can't. But I remember someone said to me, do you ever think there'll be another world war? If someone asked you that question, what would you say? Well, on the basis of the Bible, and we've read from Matthew 24, where the Lord Jesus said from that day he was speaking privately to his disciples on the Mount of Olives until the end, then cometh the end. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. As I said this morning, and I really wanted to emphasize it, we do not glorify war. War is an awful thing. War is a tragedy. If you ever watch those documentaries or read books on war, it's awful. Even when it's a just war. And sometimes war has to be fought, certainly against Hitler. War had to be fought, but yet the death, the destruction, the carnage, the mental suffering, the physical suffering, just the whole thing, how terrible and how tragic it is. But you know, war raises a problem. You know, because people say, well, if you believe in God and you believe God is love, why would God allow wars? Some people are very adamant that war is not of God, that war has nothing to do with God, that God is always for peace and tranquility, and we birds singing in the trees and fish swimming in the oceans and in the rivers, and you know what I mean. And so when a war comes, then some, their belief in a God or their belief in God is shaken. And it's challenged. Some others who consider this subject, they maybe wonder, they believe in the God of the Bible, they believe in the God of Scripture, but they wonder, well, what purpose does war have in the plan and purpose of God? Why would God permit war to take place? And they might say to you and me tonight, if you believe that God allows war, then I won't believe in him. I can't believe in a God who would allow war to come. Now, some people, they say, if there's a war and because there's war, I don't believe in God, or I don't believe he's a God of love. Those people need to be saved. Those people need Christ. As I show you in a moment, if you believe, we believe in not a God, we believe in the God of the Bible. We believe in the God who has revealed his mind and will in Holy Scripture. And so when we read through our Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we discover the mind of the Lord and the purpose of the Lord and the plan of the Lord concerning many things. And then there's some people, and their view of the Christian life is that it's all happy-clappy, hunky-dory, and you go through life and don't get involved. God's dealing with them in a very simple little way, but God has nothing to say about the world in general. And God has nothing to say about war or to do with war. In other words, they have no real doctrine, they have no real theology. They haven't studied the word in that sense. And then there are those, and they say, well, love is everything. Love is everything. And they focus in on that attribute of God. Now, we believe in the love of God. Yes, we do. But the Bible also teaches about God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's justice. So it's wrong to take one attribute of God and make that God. God is all his attributes, and he is the God of the Bible. Now, our text asks the question, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And as I've said, war is a terrible thing. But let's be clear tonight. Let's not be embarrassed or ashamed of this. We are Bible-believing Christians, and therefore we must say God, for his own purposes, allows wars. Because you know tonight, sitting there, and I know tonight, standing here, that God could stop war. That God could prevent war breaking out. That God, if we might use a term from school days that the teacher would have used, God can bash heads together and make people sit down together and come to a peaceful reconciliation. That's true. I know that's true. I can't deny that. I can't say God's not in control, because he is. So what is the Bible's teaching about this subject of war? If there was another war, God forbid. I don't want to live through a war. But if there was another war, would it shake your faith in God? Would it somehow bring you to a place where you would turn your back and all that you have professed to this moment in time? Or would you say, no, I believe in the God of the Bible, and therefore I know God is still on the throne. Now let's think about, now look again at the text, from whence come wars and fightings among you? It's a question. Why did the First World War happen? Why did the Second World War happen? Why did the Gulf War happen? Why did the troubles in Northern Ireland happen? Why is it that all over our nation today and other parts of the world, there are people considering an empty chair? People remembering someone who left home and family to go to war and never returned. Why? The answer here is plainly given. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Let's be clear tonight. There are political reasons why a war can start. There are other reasons, if you look into it, why a war begins. Sometimes confederacies are built, and this is what happened in Europe. And when one invades another, then those on the side of that invaded country come to their defense and war breaks out. But the Bible here is clear. Whatever the cause in the political sense or in any other sense, the basic reason why war happens is sin. It's sin. Look at the verse, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You think of Hitler. The man Churchill called a gutter snipe, which is an insult to the gutter snipe, but we know what he meant. Hitler declared he wanted that part of Czechoslovakia that was German-speaking, and the Allies agreed to that, and he took that, Austria, and then that part of Czechoslovakia, and he assured the world, including our Prime Minister at that time, that that was it. He had no more desire. He had no more desire. But the Bible says, verse 2, ye kill and desire to have. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not. And what did Hitler do? He invaded Poland. And the Second World War broke out. And I'm sure you've seen the pictures or the newsreel of the Prime Minister coming back with the white paper, Peace in Our Time. And Hitler had them fooled. Hitler had them fooled. Now, I personally believe there was the demonic about Hitler. The reason I say that, well, it's twofold. One is he desired the worship of people. He really set himself up as more than a man. And when you get that, the devil's about. And also, of course, he set about the destruction of the Jewish people and failed, though many lost their lives. Sin in the human heart. One man. Now, I know there was a lot of people around Hitler. There were a lot of gutter snipes and the Nazis. But that one man, that one sinful, wicked man brought about that awful destruction in the Second World War. Now people say, why doesn't God prevent it? The Lord Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, kingdom rising against kingdom and nation against nation. Here in James 4 we read, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And the answer is, because of the sinful nature of man. Take your Bible, come over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Familiar verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at the verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. But I want you to notice there's no full stop there. People want wars to cease because they want to live in peace. People want this COVID to stop because they want to live in a time when they can get out to the pub and out to the club and get out and about their business as usual. But notice what this verse says. Why are we to pray for kings and for all that are in authority? Yes, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You go down the street tomorrow and you speak to somebody and you say, wouldn't it be good to get this virus over so that we could all be godly and we could all seek the Lord and we could all get back to the way things were in the gospel meetings and in the Bible studies? You try it tomorrow and see what they say and see how they look at you. See, man wants peace, man wants tranquility, man wants everything to be as it was because they want to go on in their sinful living. They want to go on without God. They want to go on without any thought at all about righteousness and about the truth of the gospel. You know, when you think about the First World War, the war to end all wars, and then the Second World War, and it wasn't a big long time between them. But what happened? People became more materialistic. People became more and more in their hearts turning away from God, the God of their fathers, the God of their grandparents, the God of their family perhaps. And this is so. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You see, if you have the Bible, and this is why by the grace of God, and even we could use this of any crisis, including the crisis at the present time, this will not shake my faith. Not because I'm a great man of faith or my faith is very strong, but simply because I have the book and I know the God of this book, and I know that God has never said and God has never promised that there'll be no war. Because war is the consequence of sin. Man in his sin man seeking pleasure. You know, think of these young people. I don't want to point them out as if it's only them, but you know, there was cases there where on the last night before a lockdown, they were out hundreds and hundreds into wee streets in Liverpool and other parts of the country and places in our own country. And they were drinking and dancing and singing, and they were spreading the virus. Because man loves his pleasure, and man loves his sin. You see, when you think about it, war is sin on a grand scale. Let's be honest, sometimes, and of course this brings us back to James, sometimes there are fallouts in a church. I remember hearing, if you've ever heard Pastor Willie Mullen's testimony, and I remember my Uncle Davey referring to this, that in the Baptist church, then in Francis Street, they were having Greenville Street. It's now in Francis Street. But they were having an annual general meeting. That's why we don't have them. And he was with, I think it was Doreen Gulling that night. And he had just been saved, not long saved. And he said the secretary to get up to say something, and somebody else got up to contradict him. And chairs came flying out the window. And there was a real bust up, and he walked out, and he said in his testimony, if Doreen hadn't come after him, he doesn't know what would have happened to him. And I remember my Uncle Davey making mention of that to me many, many years ago. So if there can be bust-ups in churches, then there can be bust-ups among nations. It's just sin and the consequences of sin on a massive scale, as it was in the First World War and as it was in the Second World War. Well, people say, well, God should bring that to an end. God should prevent that ever happening. What kind of God do these people believe in that would allow war to happen? Well, hold on a minute. If we're going to say God should bring to an end, or God should prevent sin, then let's take that right down the line. Turn to Revelation 21 and the verse 8. Well, it's coming up to 2:15, so yous won't be home for 2:15. But look at chapter 21, Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, if you want God to stop war, then do you want God to stop all lying? Do you want God to stop all drunkenness? If somebody's going to say to you and me, and they're going to oppose our belief in the God of the Bible, and they're going to say, well, you know, what kind of God do you believe in? Why doesn't God intervene? Okay, well, let's think of what drunkenness causes every year. The road deaths and the tragedies and families and the breakup of homes. Do they want God to intervene there and shut down the whole alcohol industry? I'm for it. I'm for it. But no. You see, people have this idea, well, that particular sin, God should do something about that. But no, I don't want God interfering in my life. I don't want God interfering in my life. Why does God allow war? Because war is a consequence of sin. And sometimes people go on in a time of peace and they don't realize it. And then war comes. Also, we have to say this, war is a punishment. You know, all punishment is not eternal in the sense that God can punish in time. What I'm fearful of in these present times, and I heard Sleepy Joe yesterday, and he kept talking about he is for life. I don't know how many times he said it, and he was referencing the COVID and the death, and he says, we are for life, I am for life. And I thought, you absolute hypocrite. Because you support wholesale abortion, even though you're a Catholic, Roman Catholic. And the Catholic Church has come out and told him he's not much of a Catholic because he supports abortion. You see, let's be against this particular sin, but no, don't you touch the sin that I cherish or the sin that I think should be kept going. You see, people in a time of war, they are being punished. And people in a time of war, they get a bit of clarity and they come to see what sin really is and what sin can really do. Now, they're not converted. Some are, thank God. And then God allows war that we might repent and that we might get back to God. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And this is speaking in the context of those who sail the seas and the oceans. In Psalm 107, verse 23, but of course it can apply to any time of crisis. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now notice that, he commandeth. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And that's what we should pray for in this time of COVID, that the Lord would cause people's souls to melt because of this trouble. That there would be a spiritual work done, a spiritual awakening. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And sometimes it's only when people are brought to their wits' end, verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that's the passion of God's heart in all of these events. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. How good is the God we adore. You know, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached a series of messages and just after the outbreak of the Second World War in Westminster Chapel. And he said this, he said, it's not that we should ask, why does God allow war? But rather, why does God not allow the world to destroy itself entirely in its iniquity and in its sin? The answer is because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God in his great love, his great long-suffering and his great patience, he restrains sin. You know, if God didn't restrain sin, we wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. We'd probably reckon the safest place is to stay in bed, or we wouldn't go out our door. God is restraining sin. God is restraining evil. Men want to build a tower, a modern Tower of Babel, without God. And God restrains. And God restrains. But if you come back to James chapter 4, and with this I close, we're asked the question, from whence come wars and fightings among you? We're not going to cast off our faith in the God of the Bible because of wars or crises, because we know the Lord has said these things will come. In fact, you know what the Lord said? See that ye be not troubled. Speaking to his disciples. This is going to happen, but don't you be troubled about it. You realize, I know this is coming. You realize that God is in control. You realize that God allows these things. But they're all happening for his eternal glory and purpose. But if you look at James chapter 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? But come down to verse 8. Draw nigh to God. Oh, isn't that what we want in this time, that people will draw nigh to God? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And you know, we're back to the gospel. That's the answer. I'm not looking to governments or politicians. I'm not looking to Sleepy Joe or the Donald. It's the Lord. And you know, our task as believers and our task as members of a Christian church is, no matter what is happening, we preach the gospel. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach the blood of the cross. You know, I get literature from Sasra, S-A-S-R-A. No, that's not right. Wait a minute. Soldiers and Airmen Readers, Scripture Readers Association, isn't that it? Yeah. And I've often wondered, where's the Navy in that? Do they not believe the Navy people need the Lord? But maybe it's just, if you put an N in for Navy, it wouldn't work, wouldn't spell very much. But it's great to read about these Scripture Readers who in the armed forces are, even in times of battle, and you read about them in the First World War, the Second World War, and chaplains who are there and they're giving the gospel, giving out the Bibles. And thank God people have been saved. They often say there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, thank the Lord, people have been saved in times of war. But that's the answer. Oh, listen. There could be a third world war. Because man hasn't changed. It just takes one country or one president or one dictator or one... You know, I was reading, and I'm finished, but I was reading about how Hitler came to power, and you know, it was in a very short time. Very short time, he beguiled a nation. And of course, he got rid of his opponents, which is a good start. You get rid of everybody that opposes you, well then you're on your way. It could happen still, because this old book's true. But God knows all about it. And God has a plan and God has a purpose. Oh, I'm not looking for war, and I pray the Lord will prevent another world war, because it'll be a push-button job. They have drones now that can be hundreds of miles away and a wee thing on the screen and just send a thing without a pilot, blow you to smithereens, and we have nuclear and we have biological and we have all kinds of things. But the great thing is that men and women would come to know the Saviour. May the Lord bless these rambling thoughts and encourage us to keep trusting the Lord. This is we're not in a war, although people often say we're in a war against an invisible enemy, but it is a time of crisis and trouble. And let us pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will send out a gracious invitation that many precious souls across our nation, across our land, across our world will hear the voice of the Lord. We're hearing the voice of the medical men and the scientists and the politicians and the editors and the newspapers, and we're hearing all of that, but oh, that people would hear the Lord say, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.